Can everybody take their seats? I'd like to welcome everyone to the Warwick City Council meeting for June 6th. Can we have a roll call?
Mr. McAllister? Mr. Foley? Mr. Gebhardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Yeah.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Here.
Eight present.
Councilman Sinapi, would you please lead us in the salute to the flag?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
General communications, announcements of congratulations, condolences, and community affairs. Do we have any general communications from the council? Yes, Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, Madam Chair, I would like to request a moment of silence for all of our military that perished on that terrible day some 78 years ago on D-Day.
Have a moment of silence. Thank you. Any other general communications? Executive communication, there are none. Acceptance of minutes from council meeting held on May 16th. Councilman Howe?
Move favorable action.
Do we have a second? Councilman Foley? Our last vote will be accepted. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Accepting the minutes from May 23rd. Councilman Howe?
Move favorable action.
Second. Councilman Foley? Again, a yes vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And the acceptance of minutes for May 24th. Councilman Howell.
Move favorable action.
Second, Councilman Foley. Yes vote, say all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. At this time, we'll go back to the Finance Committee. And Councilman Howell, you can go back with the committee.
Thank you, Madam President. Okay, so at this time, I would like to call on my committee colleagues if there are any questions or comments on this PCR 67-22. I apologize. So I'll just for good measure, I'll ask if there's any further public comment.
How we doing? Mike Penta, Ward 4. Members of the council. Listen, I've been born and raised in the city of Warwick. Went through Aldridge, went through Pilgrim High School, went through all the system. Do we need new schools? Absolutely. Is today the time to put our residents of Warwick in a position like this? Let's keep using the excuses of COVID. It's still here. Let's look at the debt that the city is in today. Let's look what the taxpayers are paying out. There is no tax increase this year. We're going to really see what happens next year. We're not going to have the funding coming in anymore. We just need to take into consideration, we have a lot of tax dollars, through me saying it in the last 25, 28 years, that have gone out the window. We send a letter out if the trash trucks can't make it. Let's send a letter out to everybody in Warwick. It's expensive, but we'd throw it away anyway. Let's spend the money. Let's inform the taxpayer. You heard earlier, the taxpayer is not informed in the city of Warwick. Not all the elderly is able to use a computer, okay? They're not able to see that there's a meeting tonight and what's going on. They need to be informed properly. They need to realize where we're at with the city of Warwick, where we're going to be with the city of Warwick next year. Maybe one school? Anybody talk about that? We got a 50-year-old school and a 60-year-old school. The 60-year-old school, which is Pilgrim, definitely needs to be done, something done with right away. According to the comprehensive plan, we're not going to have the kids for the school. Build them and they will come? No, that's not the truth. People are moving out of Warwick because they can't afford it. We don't have businesses in Warwick that are fading away because they can't afford it. The taxpayers need to be informed exactly where we stand this time next year before they say, hey, yeah, let me give us another $350 million in debt. 10 to 20 years on the shelf that we have money sitting there from bonds. I thought we had a limitation once we decide to stop building these schools and looking for contractors and trying to get it organized, the bidding process and everything else, that if we don't use this money by a certain, have this job done by a certain amount of time, two schools, we talked about this I think two meetings ago, two schools start to finish in the amount of time, what do we have, 5 years? Was there something I heard about 5 years at that time? We don't finish that product. Right, who I do have no faith in, will say, have a nice day. Guess who's on the taxpayers on the hook? You guys know that. I know all of you guys. We've been friends for a long time, right? I've been dealing with you guys. You know that's going to come our way. Do we need to put that in? Right now, we have to rush this through. We have to get this through today. We got to try to get this to the General Assembly to get this going through and so the voters can vote for it. The voters are misinformed. They don't know. Spend the money. Just think about it. Just think about it. No reason why. I think the people just need to know so they can be here, so they can hear it. They need to get it in front of them in the mail. Let them read it. Let them realize where we're going. what's ahead of us before we jump for this. I think we just need to consider that and think about that. We're losing people. We're not gaining them. We're building like crazy. We're building housing like crazy. People that are coming into these new homes that we're building, we're approving these projects based on, Mr. Howe, I think in your ward, where we're looking to put up these big units of 200 units based on 1.5 cars to park in this place, which is by law. We're hoping that people are going to come in and they're going to ride a bike or they're going to walk over to the train station and work out of Boston and so forth and whatnot. So we're not looking to bring in the kids. We're looking to people to take these housings, and we're giving them all kinds of access to have minimal parking and everything else, because the idea is to put them on the bus and the train. We're not going to have the kids coming in. They're fading away. Read the comprehensive plan. Predicted by 2033. Look at the amount of people we're still going to continue to lose that we already lost. It's scary. One school, I'd be 100%. Let's see how it goes for 5 years when the school is up. They start coming in. They start packing it in. They're doing really well. Then let's consider. Now we'll have a 60-year-old Towgate school that now we can consider maybe putting in for another bond and taking some money. But I just think that the average taxpayer out there is being misinformed. They don't have the proper information in front of them. They don't know what's going on with the city. They don't follow it like me, you, and everyone else. They need to know before something like this goes forward. Thank you for your time, and just please consider that.
Good evening.
Good evening. Jim Harrison, teacher at Towgate High School, longtime city resident. I am here to plead with you to allow the voters, just like that gentleman said, allow the voters to decide the direction of the schools in the city of Warwick. It is up to the voters to decide. Not, there's only eight of you here today. Not you eight. Put it on the ballot. Let people make an argument. They will be informed. Today is June 6th. The election is not until November. Between now and November, that's 5 months. All of it will play out. So please let the residents of the city of Warwick decide on the direction of the school department and of the schools. Please, I'm begging you, I'm telling you, I've been teaching now in Warwick now since 1994. There is a need for new schools. Okay, so by putting it on the ballot, everybody will make their arguments. Everybody will be informed, and then the residents of the city of Warwick will decide on the future of the city of Warwick. Please, please put it on the ballot. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the committee. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. When I headed here tonight to the council chambers, my thought was to speak against this proposal, but to vote for it. I'm a staunch believer in democracy, being a high school history teacher for 40 years. And I do believe that we need to put this in front of the public. What has changed is my thought process. Like I said, I was going to speak against it, but I would speak for it. And the reason being is the questions and answers back and forth, and that we have a 7-year window that we're looking at. That's A. B, it gets voted on and passed by the citizens and voters of Warwick. We're not breaking ground the next day. We're going to reassess. We might postpone breaking ground because of interest rates, because of soaring costs, construction costs, a whole conundrum of reasons. But what we have to realize is, once again, we are hamstrung by ride. This is not, tonight was the first time anybody heard of this. This process has been at least 2 years long, probably five, if I did my math right. I can't see your hands. I can see fingers, but I can't see them. Three. Thank you, though. 3 years long. And I remember when I ran for this seat, we had a debate, and we talked about this bond and the proposal. And the school committee went with just repairing the high schools. And RIDE said, if you want reimbursement, you can't go that route. Understand, that's not the city of Warwick. That's not the city council. That's not the school committee. That's RIDE. That if you want reimbursement, you must follow our rules. I taught for 30 years at Davies, directly under RIDE, and I'm fed up with them. Fed up with these unfunded mandates. So we get hamstrung from the beginning. A fellow educator. So our choices are limited. So now we have to look at, okay, we have to build new. Due diligence. 3 years in the process. And these are the plans that have come. We've come up with. We as a group, as a city. And all we're doing now is sending this back to the legislature in Providence saying, put it on the ballot. Then it is up to us again, not us, the city council, us citizens, to go out and educate our fellow citizens for or against. That's your job. That's our job. So that we make an informed decision. What really bothered me tonight with a lot of the testimony, the little faith we have in our fellow citizens. Now, I'm on a rant now. I'm sorry. But that bothers me. The strength of this country is an informed citizenry. Read your history. It's our job to be informed. Democracy is an interactive government. You as citizens have a responsibility. Don't put it on your elected officials. Oh, I didn't know. Find out. Be informed. Thank you. What my last point, I'll wrap up. My last point is this. No, I know. I understand that. You'd whack me in the back of my head. I understand you. My point is this. To do nothing is making a decision. If we don't vote to move this forward, it's dead for at least another election cycle. That's two more years, three more. If we think prices are going to soar, why would we put this off? Let's get it approved and let it sit there if we have to for a few years while supply costs go down, while interest rates go down. But again, to do nothing tonight, to not move this forward, is a decision to kill it in its current form, and who knows what reimbursements will be down the road, if any. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gebhardt, you have any follow-up? Okay, thank you. Members of the council, first I'll give the, Madam President, would you like to speak at this time? I'm sorry? Thank you so much. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I was in favor of approving at the vote back in February. I think that Councilman Foley is right on point with so many of his points. Something a little bit different that I'd like to bring to the attention of the public here is that this is not just a choice of, are we going to continue to tread water right where we are, just kind of take our schools in their present form and put it on the shelf, freeze it in place, and keep going exactly as things are. No. Speaking figuratively, not literally, because Pilgrim is not literally sinking, but figuratively, things over at Pilgrim, wear and tear, repairs that are needed, it's sinking. It's not treading water. We have a lot of structural issues with that building from the roof on down. And these issues are not going to get better over time. They're going to get worse over time. This is a building that it was simply not designed to last. Like some of these even older buildings were, I don't exactly know how to explain the difference between some of the construction, say pre-war, pre-Great Depression, versus some of the 1960s era construction. I'm not an expert in that field, but what I do know is that the way that Pogrom was hastily constructed, well, it was a mess when I was there around the years 2000 through 2004. Proud Pogrom graduate of 2004. Proud in spite of course, as anyone in my class would know, and I'm sure anyone in classes since then, if you're in that building, you're going to see random trash cans around because, of course, there are perpetual leaks in the roof. It's not exactly meeting the ideal standards of a school where you would want to spend 6 hours a day. There are just so many problems with that building, and that's not to touch on the differences between 1960s construction for 1960s education and modern 21st century education. Just looking at some very basic things like the amount of space per each classroom, the difference between having a model for a class of the 1960s era where all the students sit in rows and they'll look at the blackboard versus nowadays where the modern education, it has different requirements for the physical space in that room. You have students learning in groups. You have different stations. You have a smaller classroom. Well, that's going to be a bit more cramped. Maybe you can't have all of those stations. Maybe you can't have those same activities that 21st century curriculum calls for. Then that's not even getting into, say, the difference between having a lot of those buildings with the few, or in some cases, no windows. And during those hot months in, say, May, June, September, lack of air conditioning. We all know that when taking those tests, I'm sure that a lot of us weren't taking tests in air-conditioned rooms, and just sitting there as students sweating, it's not exactly optimal testing conditions, not exactly optimal learning conditions. From the issues with the building that have arisen over the last, say, 60, 70 years, and then just a matter of how the school was designed in the first place, there are a lot of reasons to replace Pogrom, and I certainly, this is one area where I can't fault Ride. I cannot fault them in their assessment that it is a bad idea to throw good money after bad into an aging building that is, by a lot of accounts, past its expiration date. I can't fault that. What I can fault with Ride, and where they have really tied our hands, and I certainly don't appreciate this, is that they are giving us a choice of really all or nothing, that we have to do two high schools all at once, because I really do think that Tollgate, there are ways that Tollgate could, well, see a few more years left in it, maybe in a more ideal world, if I was making the rules here, then maybe there would be a way that we could build Pogrom first and then go out to bond to rebuild Tollgate. But I don't make the rules. That was not a decision of this city council, nor of the school committee, nor the school department. That's really something that came down from Ride. And when we are given this up or down choice, I really do think that it should be the choice of the people. That's why I'm going to support a yes vote tonight to allow this to move forward to the General Assembly and for the people to educate themselves over the next 5 months, seek out the facts, and make a fully informed decision. Now, one other factor that we really haven't touched on too much tonight is what happens if we do nothing. We cannot look at this in a vacuum as a matter of, okay, it's the status quo or something different, and this something different, the building of the new schools, that has a cost. Well, there's also a cost to doing nothing. That cost of doing nothing is that Pilgrim is going to keep getting worse. Tollgate, too, is going to keep getting worse. I don't think it makes a lot of sense to sink millions and millions of dollars into repairs for schools that should be replaced in the near future. Let's not throw the good money after the bad money. But then also, what are the risks of continuing to push off doing anything? What are the risks of inaction? At that meeting here in these, meeting of the city council back in February, where we last were considering this, I had raised questions about, was there a risk of Pilgrim failing accreditation in the future if nothing is done? And the answer was yes. There had been discussions and concerns about Pilgrim's accreditation if things continued to deteriorate, and I do mean deteriorate. So if we decide as a city to not take any action for years from now, because you know what? Just as there's no good time to raise taxes, there's no good time, I suppose, to take action. Well, what is the cost of that inaction? If we put this off, I don't know how many more years we have out of Pilgrim, but if we just keep pushing it off, kicking the can down the road, then it is going to be just a matter of time until Pilgrim does fail accreditation. And then what do? This isn't like running a car into the ground where you run your car into the ground. And I've done that with a few cars. I've bought cars for $300, $500. I didn't have much money when I was a teenager or a student in my early 20s. And so I would buy those cars. And then when that car ran its course, I would turn around and buy another cheap car. We can't do that with the school. It takes years to construct a school. If our students can't go to school, say over 1,000 students at Pilgrim High School, then we have the pleasure of busing them to neighboring districts. That's just bad on a lot of levels. First, for the education, for the city pride, for the school pride, but then also it's terrible, really terrible for us on a financial level, because now we're talking north of $20,000 per student times 1,000 students. Now, you do that multiplication, the school district wouldn't be losing on the margin $20 million a year because, of course, their costs to running Pilgrim High School. However, we would be looking at, on the margin, still losing millions and millions of dollars a year. So I say, let's build Pilgrim High School. Let's pass this bond before Pilgrim fails.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattisor.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to reserve my time to address this after. I think upon us to, from Schaefer, before we go any further. 2 months ago, as you all know, I requested a five-year forecast on finances as things affect this city, including the schools, if we do them, if we don't do them, if the cost is X, Y, or Z. This was just sent to us, or at least to me, this progressive analysis was just sent to me Thursday evening at 9 o'clock. I didn't see it or get it until Friday morning sometime. If that's the case with me, as a member of the city council, I doubt that the taxpayers or the members of the public saw this any earlier. I think it's prudent upon us to have Mr. Schaefer come before this council and explain every item in this five-year forecast. Because it's particularly important to me, because this is not what I requested. I requested a five-year forecast at minimum that would show all of the cost, the tax rates for the next 5 years. The tax rates. Don't give me a number that says, oh, we're going to have, you know, X deficit. I want the number. I want to know what is the tax rate going to, what's the tax cost to the taxpayers over the next 5 years if we do X, Y, and Z. This doesn't say it. I'm all in favor of having the voters have the right to vote on their future, but they need to know now what those consequences are. To say that, fine, let's pass this, and we'll give everybody the information they need between now and November. It'd be like saying, I'm going to hire you to build a house for me. You go ahead and do, you know, all the stuff that I'd like to have that, you know, I want, and we'll figure out what the price is later on. There isn't one person in this room that's going to do that. Not one person in this city, I don't think, would do that. So to say that after 3 years of putting all of this together, 3 years, that we don't have a more accurate number, we're not able to give the taxpayers a financial forecast of what this is going to cost them, in addition to contractual raises, healthcare increases, all the infrastructure repairs that we need to do, the vehicle replacements, the fire trucks, the rescues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what I asked for. I wanted a realistic number projection based upon previous history and projections going forward as to what is it going to cost the taxpayers. So with that said, Mr. Chairman, I would like to hear from Mr. Schaefer. I think it's prudent upon us to have an explanation out of these numbers that he's presented to us as a five-year forecast that will tell the taxpayers what this will cost if we do it, if it'll be $350, it'll be $450, or if we don't do it at all. Thank you. And then I'll get my comments later.
Director Schaefer, I will say that I understand what the, before you speak, Director, I will say that I believe that at the very first sentence, it says City Council acted on resolution PCR 32-22, endorsement by the mayor. And I believe that the requirements that were in PCR 32-22 of everything enacted at that time was satisfied. But Director, I'll leave it to you. If you wouldn't mind, turn on the microphone. Thank you. And if you want to just hold the microphone, that might make it easier.
Yeah. Well, I quote from the resolution, and that's what this does. I think the thing that it maybe I was unhappy with, and maybe the councilman's unhappy with, it gives a range of estimates. And I've done a lot of forecasts over the years, and this is the forecast that the state came out with, five-year forecast, in its budget in January, which projected a $250 million deficit next year, a structural deficit this year of $125 million, and right now it seems like they don't know what to do with all the money they've got. So this is a challenging thing, and I did my best job. We've had, let's just look at the drivers in the forecast. First of all, property taxes. And I don't like to use rate scenarios because we're going to have a revaluation. We're going to have, assuming we execute a reval next year, which I think, as I said earlier, is a 95% probability, we'll have almost 100% certain a big rate reduction. But how it plays out on the commercial and residential sector, we don't really know. But I've computed a range of deficits or surpluses over the years that can easily be divided into the revenue product, into the total budget, and determine, under the worst case scenario, it's something like property taxes at the end of the 5 years might be as high as 20% higher. But compounding of what happens is the issue. And we've had moderation in, as I mentioned, in health insurance. I've got different assumptions on state aid. The state seems to have plenty of money. Let's see what happens. We don't know what's going to happen on state aid. We've got a $30 million fund balance, which I speak to, that can help us get by and manage to the problems that we have because we have flexibility there. We've still, and I talked about this during the budget hearings, hopefully we'll have some our last pledge of ARPA funds next year that will help us. And there's other reserves that we talked about during the budget hearings, including medical insurance from our previous vendor and from our new vendor. Really, the opportunities we've had to moderate costs on health insurance have been very surprising to me over the last. But then in terms of expenses, wages, and we've had, I think, reasonable wage increases, municipal employees, much lower than the inflation rate. And we'll see what happens. We're negotiating another contract now. We'll see what happens on that. With the debt service, I did a more detailed job on it, looking at two different components. Pension costs, and I talked earlier, we're going to have the actuary in here. We had terrific investment returns last year.
Mr. Director, if I can interrupt, this is stuff that you're just stating that has already been put in your report?
Yes.
Yes. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to, I think that what the concern, and Councilman, this is also towards you, that the requirements that were in PCR 32-22 for the 5 year were in this report. And I understand what you're saying, that you want to hear more stable. And I remember, and I'm going to speak for myself now, I remember hearing Mr. Schaefer on numerous occasions saying that there's a lot of projections he's just not comfortable doing because of, you know, you don't know what the market on the municipal market, if you will. As he said, the state said we're anticipating one thing and it's looking the opposite. So that's what was required and what was asked for in this document was delivered. And I think you're looking for something else that.
May I respond?
Yeah, please.
So you speak to specifically the language in the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the language that was discussed on this floor the night the resolution came to play. What I spoke to is what I said earlier. What I was looking for was said at that meeting. Right now, Mr. Schaefer just made a comment that this shows what the deficit is. So essentially, you know, you can figure out what the tax increase would be. No, that's not the taxpayer's job to do the math of what the tax rate will be. We're showing over here the best case scenario minus a deficit of $3.5 million in year 27. We're showing a $5.1 million deficit in 26, a $7 million deficit in 25. A 24 and 24, a $3.1 million deficit. That's best case scenario, right? And we know we can only raise taxes 8.8 or say 9 million bucks, right? We know that already. So let's go on to worst case scenario. And by the way, that's all assuming that these schools get done for $350 million. It's assuming that all of these other things take place. So here we are, worst case scenario. We got a revised deficit. In 24, 13.9 million. In 25, 29.2. In 26, 39.2. In 27, 50 million. What I want to see is if those numbers come to fruition, what is the tax rate going to be? And if it exceeds 9 million, what is the next step? What is it going to mean in a supplemental tax increase? And where do you expect the money to come from? That doesn't tell me this, and it doesn't tell the taxpayers that. And for the taxpayers to have to do the math is, that's ridiculous. That's not their job to do the math. It's our job, the city's job, to present them with what the real numbers are. These are the numbers. Yeah, sure, there's speculation. We know that. We've been talking about that forever. It's kind of funny how speculation, when it works in someone's favor, that's cool. When it doesn't work, well, it doesn't matter. This doesn't tell the taxpayers what it's going to cost them if we build these schools. And couple that with everything else that we have to do. And it was, you know what, I'm just going to continue on if I may.
Yeah, Mr. please. Chairman.
It also says in here, I believe Mr. Schaefer said that to one of the questions, that if the cost of those schools exceed $350 million, that we'd have to go back out to the voters. Really? So you're going to be in the, you're going to be in the middle of construction with one, perhaps two schools simultaneously. You're going to be at whatever stage of the game it is, and you realize, oh, guess what? I don't have enough money. This isn't like coming back to the finance committee and say, oh, by the way, I miscalculated on this particular item, and we missed some invoices, and you got to approve another $5,000. No, that's not what it is. If these numbers are wrong, and there's every reason in the world to think that $350 million is not going to happen on these schools, absolutely, you can bank on it. Go back to the voters. So what are you going to do? You're going to middle of construction. You're going to stop doing whatever work you're doing. You're not going to continue the buildings. The kids are not going to be any better off than they were before. And you got to go back to the voters. What does that mean? Does that mean you're going to wait until 2024 to go back to the voters? Or does that mean you're going to incur even additional expenses and have a special election? A special vote, right? How does that work? Tell me how that works. You're going to stop these buildings in the middle of that. Well, three bites of the spending. Hold on, Chairman Schaefer. I'll just continue on with my comments, if I may.
One moment, please, Mr. Director, Councilman.
So you say two schools, one school. We heard tonight, you know, were there other items that were done, any curriculum bases, et cetera, et cetera. And we also heard recently that this council, right here, this council didn't do any public outreach, didn't contact PTAs and whatever the case may be, didn't do any of those things when we voted on term limits or no term limits. What outreach did this city council do with regard to these schools? None that I'm aware of. We can vote on it, let it go out to the voters, let them vote uninformed or not informed or without all the actual numbers as close as they can be, and then we can sit on it. You want to sit on a $350 million bond, and if other things come up in this city, if we have a significant infrastructure failure in our water system, which is possible, in our sewer system, which is possible, and you need a couple of $100 million to do that, that $350 million bond is sitting there. That's part of your line of credit. Just like we have in business, we have a line of credit. That means that money cannot be loaned out to someone else. The line of credit is going to sit there. In this forecast right here, I don't see anything that talks about the $7 million outstanding bond for Mickey Stevens. I believe that's still outstanding. Maybe it's here somewhere, but I don't see where $7 million for Mickey Stevens shows up on here. These are all numbers that need to be factored in. I think there was a good point made earlier about the debt limit. I'll be very honest with you. I don't know what the debt limit is. I don't know if anyone else here does. If this exceeds the debt limit, what about it? So I'm even more concerned now than I was before I walked into this chamber. I'm more concerned now because there are so many new questions that were brought up this evening that the answer is, I don't know. Or we've got till November to figure it out. That makes no sense to me. So, to me, what makes sense is we shouldn't be strong-armed by RIDE. And I think Councilman Sinapi, he spoke very eloquently 2 months ago about his opinion of RIDE. We shouldn't be strong-armed by RIDE to say, we've got to do this today. Forget about the cost of fuel. Forget about the cost of getting materials and equipment, et cetera, to the job sites. God forbid we even finally admit that we may not even be able to get steel. And if you can get steel, the cost is going to be 2 to 3 times more than what it is. And by the way, we don't have the troops to build these two schools. What about that? So here's what I'm going to recommend to this council. Let's get to the governor or the treasurer or whoever controls RIDE and demand that given the current conditions, we have not been able to communicate because of COVID. Everything we can't do is so conveniently blamed on COVID. But we couldn't do this and that and the other because of COVID. So why don't we demand, as the legislative branch of government in the city of Warwick, that RIDE is absolutely committed to give us the extension on that 52% up to 52% return on the cost of those schools. Give us a 2-year extension, maybe a 3-year extension. Why do we even have a deadline at all? That is absurd. So that is what I would like to put out there to us as a legislative branch of government. And by the way, that gives everyone, the school department, the administration, and all of us, 2 years to come up with a real accurate financial picture, an accurate forecast. And it gives everyone plenty of time to do the curriculum basis, the studies. How do we need marine technology? Do we need more carpentry? You can't get electricians, plumbers, carpenters. You can't get any of this stuff. So is that all factored in? And it'll give us more time. And in the end, you're probably going to be looking at, and by the way, we shouldn't be forced and strong-armed to build 2 brand new schools at the same time. That shouldn't be RIDE's decision. They shouldn't have that control over us. And more importantly and more aggravating is that RIDE has that type of control over what our taxpayers can afford to bear. That's ridiculous. And we need to take a stand on that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. You know, to follow up on what you just said, Councilman, I think during the budget hearings, I think I let my opinion of RIDE and my opinion of unfunded mandates and how education has been federalized and so therefore they've taken so much out of the municipality's hand that a lot of what we do and a lot of what we pay for, we have no choice in that. I understand there's a few council people that would probably, Councilman Sinapi, would you like to speak next?
Sure. So I got a few points.
And if you wouldn't mind speaking up just a little, thank you.
My apologies. So we have a few things, some of them which have been brought up tonight. Just kind of do a bullet point list. First, don't forget there's a student drain currently, not necessarily because of taxes, but because of some of the loopholes in the state regarding school programs. We lose kids due to other sports programs or other programs that other schools have, even though we have substantially similar or even better ones. And there's not a speculative amount of money we lose that. We lose millions of dollars to that. And school committee member David Testa actually brought up NK going to the sporting events there. And it made me remember when I was in Tollgate, I remember NK would always have a wrestling tournament. And I went, I couldn't understand why the heck they put themselves through all the rigmarole that surrounds it. until I walked in and you look at this brand new building and it's gorgeous. And all the kids go when they see that, all their parents go when they see that, and then you wonder where your friends go the next year. And look, they're at NK, because NK shows off at school, sometimes in subtle ways, like by holding tournaments, and they take kids, and then they take millions. And we could just replace our fields. That costs millions upon millions of dollars. In fact, if those of you remember, there was at one point a resolution introduced to do that, and it would have cost well over $10 million. We could do nothing and then just fix up the schools, because we couldn't just do literally nothing because the schools would fall apart, as Councilman Ricks already pointed out. The original plan was to basically do that, to renovate. We probably wouldn't get reimbursement because, as we know, RIDE blocked it first time around. And we'd be basically spending hundreds of millions of dollars potentially to fix buildings that are pretty much past their life, just because we didn't want to deal with the potential burden of building the new schools, which the generations before us have all had to deal with this at one point. New schools eventually are needed. It's just how it works. And as many recall, we have been given, and especially the school department has been given, nothing but grief for kicking the can down the road in other regards. But in this one, interestingly enough, that's all anyone wants, is to kick the can. It never worked before. It's not going to work today, especially when there's hundreds of millions of dollars on the line that we won't get because we thought we knew better. And even if we do, it doesn't matter, because RIDE controls what we get to do and what we get to spend and how we get to spend it and what we get back in return. If you don't like it, take it up with RIDE. I have. You should, too. You should continue to do so, because I talked to the same individual that Mr. Cody mentioned, actually, Mario, and he cautioned me. I was throwing him out of all these ideas to try to make this work. He said, look, you know, at the end of the day, if you get this passed, you can at least guarantee reimbursement based on the terms that there are now. If the terms get better, that's great. But if you don't pass it, you'll be in a position where you potentially get nothing. So if we all do what hopefully at least some of us are voice doing and lobby RIDE, lobby the governor, lobby the General Assembly to fix this abomination of a process and to get more reimbursement and to make this work for everyone, we'll be in an even better position, as opposed to passing nothing, at which point we'll screw the kids, screw the city, and screw the taxpayers. It does no one any favors, but at least some people would feel good for a brief amount of time until reality sets in. Bear in mind, too, that outreach has been going on for years, at least 3 years. I was there at the meetings at the beginning when they had the expert come in and he brought together members of the city council, legislatures, city itself, school department, everybody. That's actually how originally we came to be focusing on two schools and where we came to focus on renovations. There were countless public meetings. Even when COVID hit, there were still public meetings, just via remotely. And there'll be countless more if this passes, to pretend otherwise is a farce, to pretend as if people will not be went to extraordinary lengths to educate the general population is ridiculous, because it's in everyone's best interest to educate everyone so that they vote in favor. Do not educate them, risk them voting against. So it's silly to assume that will not occur one way or another. Please understand the depths of what happens when, thanks to RIDE's involvement, we lose the millions to students going elsewhere. Bear in mind, that only is possible thanks to a mix of RIDE and the general legislature, but mainly RIDE. We lose millions because RIDE demands the process for building a new school be a certain way, which, bear in mind, is not the way in Massachusetts. You don't have to spend millions upon millions of dollars to design a school from scratch in Massachusetts, because schools that they previously have approved, you can use that template. Rhode Island, they don't give a shit. You can't do that. Build a new template. Pay the millions of dollars. You have to. There's no logic. There's no rhyme. There's no reason other than to screw us. RIDE is not your friend. RIDE never will be your friend at this rate. Google it. There's plenty of other things they've done. Special education, you name it. If you have an issue with this situation that nobody wants to be in, Take it up with those responsible. Take it up with RIDE. My goal, and what it seems like at least most of our goal here on the council, is to make sure this issue is not made worse by us. That's why I'm voting in favor. I encourage others to do the same. I don't blame anyone who's frustrated with the situation because it's remarkably frustrating and, frankly, stupid. It makes no sense. But we didn't put ourselves here. Even the school department didn't put themselves here. RIDE put us here.
Thank you, Councilman. And I also, Councilman, if you wouldn't mind, if I may direct a question towards you, sir. There's also legislation at the State House now that would also extend the 5-year. If you could go, just explain that very briefly.
That was one of the main reasons I talked to the individual at RIDE, because I want to know how that would work, if we could rely on that and in theory convince them to allow us to tweak the proposal. And that's when he pointed out, look, if you pass what you're looking to pass, then potentially, yes, you would have the extension you could fall back on, but if you don't pass anything, you're basically gonna get far enough to use it.
Yes, and that goes on what you were saying, Councilman Lattiser, and I want to assure Councilman Lattiser, my colleagues, and to the public that there have been phone calls made. There have been outlook. When it comes to the Warwick Public Schools, I go to Council President Travis. I go to Councilman Sinapi. I know Councilman Sinapi and Councilwoman Travis and many other colleagues of mine attend the school committee meetings. And if there's one theme that we keep hearing again and again, and I want to go on kind of what Councilman Sinapi said, is in Massachusetts, they have a template. The burden is not put on the municipalities. That is picked up by the state at their department. And it's a template of a building where they just give to you, and you're not required to present all the blueprints for RIDE, then to decide, we're going to allow this, we're not going to allow this. Thus the situation we came in with the rehab of the schools, to the construction, to the requirement that we have to build new schools. So exactly what was said at the budget hearings, exactly what great discussion we had, a wonderful discussion. Councilman Lattiser always brings up valid points about the costs of construction and the challenges that the developers and builders face. And one of the things that we've done is brought to the challenges that educators in cities, municipalities face with these unfunded mandates and these requirements that suddenly are just plucked out of a bucket and thrown at the municipalities. From the Rhode Island Department of Education. And I want to add, this started, education is no longer local. Education is federalized. From the No Child Left Behind Act to the Race to the Top Act, we're under, in 2008, 2009, from, you know, where under then Secretary of Education Arne Duncan, we had to compete. And if we all remember, then Gist, Commissioner Gist, she would have to apply for grants. So we had to compete for money just to get our children educated, just to get the best of the best for our students to get educated. We had to compete with all the other districts and all the other states just to get money. These are the challenges that somehow, when all the decisions trickle down and all the money trickles down from federal, since the federal government federalized education, very little come to us. As a matter of fact, it's a kick-up system. Kind of like an old mafia style where we have to send things up to get permission.